What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett. And as always, I am with Amy Zander. Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How are you?
I'm great. I understand we have a couple of guests on the line today.
We do. I'm really excited to talk with Nick Nada and David Shotwell with Shotwell Rudder Bear Financial Advisors. They are a client of mine that I've been working with for a few years. And they're one of they're our first guests that we've interviewed that is not a mutual client of
ours. Right. That's why I'm so excited, because I just get to sit back and listen.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I met Nick Nada at through B&I Networking, a networking group that I'm in, and his business partner, David, has an office up in Sheboygan. And so, David, I was hoping, why don't you just give us a rundown about what Shotwell Rudder Bear does, and we'll go from there.
Sure. Shotwell Rudder Bear is a financial planning firm, and we offer personal financial planning, focusing on a life planning approach, trying to connect people's values and goals to how we invest their money. And then we offer the full spectrum of investment management services and the financial planning that goes with that. We've got our main office is in Lansing, and then we have a satellite office up here in Sheboygan, which is where I spend a lot of my time, and clients all over the state and actually all over the country.
Excellent. So when I first met you guys and we started talking, I didn't know a lot about what financial advisors did, so I had to educate myself on that. And then we started talking about the brand archetype idea and marketing. And so, Nick, I started talking to you about that first because I knew you before I knew David. And I was wondering if you could just let our listeners know what you thought about the brand archetype process and how that went for you and your understanding of all that marketing stuff.
Yeah, so I thought the process was fantastic, actually. It was very interesting to me because it came from a completely different creative level than what we're used to as financial planners. If you can imagine, a lot of financial planners, ourselves included, are good at numbers, but not always in creativity. So, just the whole process of kind of bringing in all these words and figuring out what meant something to us and how we came upon the neighbor brand archetyped, and which was enlightening but also kind of funny to us, because one of our mottos or our overall message statement that we have on our walls was this kitchen table approach, and it just kind of fell right into place with the neighbor archetyped. And so I thought it was really enlightening for us, for me personally, and kind of as a team, to kind of come together around this common theme of being neighborly to our clients and to the community. And it just once we dulled everything down to what this archetype, everything just kind of started to make sense and to click.
Yeah, I really like how you said dulled it down. We often say that it razor focuses what you're going to talk about and the message that you're giving out. And I know that your team and I talked a lot about how talking about financial things can be intimidating and hard for some people. And we thought that the neighbor archetype, which, as you said, you'd already kind of been doing, but to solidify it and put it into words and make it an actual action item and things that we were focusing really brought everything together, like you said. And I love that approach. I love how, the pictures of you guys on your website, you're wearing, more casual clothes. You're not in buttoned up suits looking really, austere, like maybe the guru archetype or something with it. It's just more casual. You have that kitchen table approach. You guys redid your website, and then we looked at all the words and content. And we rewrote some of that stuff to make it more neighborly and friendly. And then one of the things that was really fun to work on with you guys was you have your financial process that you walk your clients through, and we wanted to come up with a branded, unique name for that that was on brand. And so we came up with the strategic, the strategic?
Reliable Brewprint.
Reliable Brewprint, yeah, which is SRB too, for Shotwell Rudder Bear. So I thought that was clever. That was fun to work on.
Excellent. Yeah. So, Nick, when you were saying that it came to you from a different creative level, Amy and I are constantly trying to reinforce the idea that the use of archetypes is all about emotions. And I don't know about other people, but I know when I think about financial planning, I get really, really emotional. It's okay, maybe not so much emotional, just sheer fear, I think. I've had a couple of financial planners as branding clients in the past, and one of the things that I found most challenging was the amount of legal and regulatory oversight that those firms had to undergo. And just kind of backstory, back in the 80s, I was a stockbroker, got my Series 7, Series 63, so I'm familiar with the process, but fast forwarding, a couple of decades later, and then trying to work in the same industries that have such heavy regulatory oversight, how has that affected you guys? I mean, if at all, I'm not sure how your flavor of financial planning is affected by it.
So, Kevin, we're a registered investment advisory firm, and we're independent. So we have a little more latitude. Basically, we don't have the same oversight structure as brokerage firms in terms of messaging and marketing. And it's not that every registered investment advisory firm has the same latitude we do. I think it's about being smaller and independent. And what happens is in those larger firms, the compliance department kind of has to gear things towards the lowest common denominator and make it as simple as possible. And so they have a tendency just to disallow a lot of the creativity and the content production. I think you'll find over the last couple of years, that's gotten better. I've been out of that part of the business for a while. We've been our own registered investment advisory firm since 2013 when I joined Beth. But, I think from what I've heard, anecdotally at least, that's gotten better for the folks in the larger firms and the brokerage firms.
Right. So the last financial planning client that I had was probably 6 or 7 years ago, and that wasn't too bad. But the first one, the one that sticks in my mind the most, was almost 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. In the whole internet, the concept of things happening on the internet, and then social media at the time was just so nascent, just nobody knew what to expect from it. And I think it kind of freaked out the legal teams. They just put a lockdown on all content going out through social media, and it made things almost impossible. So I'm glad to hear that you guys have an easier time of it.
Yes.
Yeah. David, when we ask questions during these interviews, we try to ask questions that are, going to evoke some interesting answers. And, we've got a couple queued up here, but let's just start with the big softball. Can you think of any marketing or branding successes that you guys have had?
So I would say the biggest success from my point of view, and this is, I know you lobbed a softball to me, but it's not like I've got like real numbers to spout here, but just, taking the idea of the focus that Amy and Nick were talking about a minute ago, that having the brand architect provides, from my point of view, that gives me energy to then turn around and produce content. Nick and I have always wanted to do more podcasting, more blogging. I found myself writing things, but I never felt like they had a purpose, so they just kind of got stuck in a folder on my computer. Now that we kind of have this structure in place, that energy is back to produce that content and get that message out there. And You know, not just the brand archetype helps, but then also having a structure behind that to get podcasts out there to the world, to get the blog out there to the world, gives more purpose to it. And, you know, we're starting to see downloads on the podcast and more clicks on the website. And I really should have those metrics. I'm a numbers nerd, but it's more portfolio numbers. So
sure.
I have to punt on that.
It's awesome to hear. And I'm sure that Amy has a little tear in her eye hearing your sponsor.
I do. I'm so proud.
They grow up so fast.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And I do want to say, too, that David is, you guys are a wonderful client to work with because David is a fantastic writer. And he naturally captures the neighbor archetype in his writing, where he explains things in a very easy way to understand. It's not full of numbers and things like that. And I like editing his blogs and helping him get that content out there because you're a really good writer. Well, I appreciate that. Makes my job easy.
Now I'm the one with the tear in my eye.
right.
But you know, when we were working through the brand archetype structure with you and we landed on neighbor, I was like, yeah, that's it. That's what I've been trying to do. That's what I want to be. And so, you know, it was kind of a eureka experience in a way.
Nice. Yeah, we like those aha moments. That's awesome. So yeah, let's talk about the podcast. I know, Nick, you're especially excited about this. You and I listen to a lot of podcasts and talk about them. It's fun. So do you want to talk about, you know, getting that podcast launched and how that process went?
Yeah. So I think we are up to episode 12 or 13 or something like that.
And 13.
We, you know, Dave and I kind of have a process of getting together usually on Fridays and just recording one or two. But it's been a lot of fun for us to, you know, we love talking shop and we love, you know, just, you know, expressing ourselves and podcasting is an easy way for us to do that, to have that kind of back and forth conversation. Like, it's very similar to what we would have with clients. And it's been a good way for us to, you know, get some of that content out to folks and hopefully it's useful to them. And from our perspective, I would say, you know, it's easy for us because all we do is record the podcast and we put it in a file and then Amy and her team of podcast people put it all together for us. And so that's a blessing for us because I feel like we'd still be stuck on episode one or two if we were trying to do something like that ourselves. So
for the people searching, what is the name of the podcast? So we can all go out and find it.
It's Kitchen Table Finance.
Yeah. I'm so excited about that name. We worked on that, and it kind
it's
of
so on brand.
Yeah, it kind of fell in our lap too because you have that kitchen table philosophy. And then when I was writing the script for the intro, and you have a fantastic voiceover artist that you hired for that, it was fun to write that script because it was I kind of used a table analogy, like, you know, cutting through the complexity and delivering bite-sized pieces of finance information. I was like, ha-ha, yeah, that was fun to write.
Yeah, it's been yeah. Fantastic. It's been a lot of fun for us. And I have a 16-year-old, and she thinks I'm pretty cool because I have my own podcast. So I got a little bit of bonus points on
right?
that one.
Yeah, street cred.
Well, yeah. Okay, as the dad of five boys out of the house, I'm finding it really hard to imagine that a 16-year-old, you got cool factor? Wow, you must be doing an amazing job. My kids never thought it was cool.
Very fleeting. It was a brief moment, but I could see it.
Very good.
Nice.
That's awesome. I think Amy and I might start a serious podcast one day.
Yeah, maybe we'll get serious about it.
That's right. So this branding thing, you know, the breakdown you guys have given us and the process of creating this whole kitchen table concept, it's really, really awesome. I knew that Amy was working with you guys. We chat about mutual clients a lot, but, you know, our other clients, Amy knows about mine and I know about hers, but for some reason it didn't stick in my mind what archetype you were, and so I said, well, I'll just take a little pop over to the Shotwell Rudder Bear website and take a look, and I read like two paragraphs, I'm like, oh, regular guy. It was just screaming regular guy. Amy, kudos on the words, but the whole presentation, everything that you're doing there is totally spot on, Brian. So you guys did that awesome. And obviously with Amy's guidance, you guys are getting the helping hand and things are easier that way. But this whole idea of using archetypes is usually new to most people, very foreign, and a lot of people find the process not challenging, but it's either super, super clarifying and helpful, or it's so foreign to them, they feel like they might be doing something wrong. And so after they get into it, they'll start to experience things. Like things will start to be a lot better, a lot easier. And then magical things start to happen with their clients and their customers and their marketing campaigns and things like that. So you guys are well into this. Have you experienced anything interesting or unexpected or new or anything that you'd like to share that we would love to hear about?
I think the whole process then makes content creation easier from my point of view, because then you've kind of got this filter. You know, you might be writing something and you're thinking, oh, this is, I'm just kind of mushing along and putting words together. But if you step back and say, does that fit with what, you know, Amy's put together for us? It kind of becomes a filter and a way to say, no, you know, that's just gobbledygook. I need to back up and think about this from the archetype standpoint. And then you've got lists of words and images and things you can rely on to help make that stuff fit.
So the process that you just described, you described yourself as it providing a filter. Mm-hmm. A lot of challenges that we face with customers who seem to be struggling with the process is that they have not found a way to remind themselves that there is a filter, that there is this thing that's so useful and helpful, and they just don't tap into it. Those are the people who find this foreign. And so what do you specifically do? Where are you one of the lucky ones who finds it just comes naturally to say, oh yeah, well, I got to do the filter every time I write?
You know, maybe it was too easy because the archetype that we landed on just fit what we wanted to do, right? And I guess, you know, it's pretty easy just to back up and say, okay, if I was sitting across, you know, back to the kitchen table idea, if I was sitting down at the table and describing this to a client, am I writing it the way I would do that naturally if I was just talking to somebody?
Yeah. Okay. Nick, do you have any interesting things?
What I would say that I felt was super interesting and very helpful is just how much buy-in we got from the whole team. So there's four and a half of us, if we call Joel the intern. And everybody to a T gets just kind of bought into this idea of the neighbor and they really kind of hold on to it and protect it, where we're having conversations about things we're doing in the office. And it always kind of circles back to, is this neighborly? Are we being neighborly in this aspect of our business? And so really even more through the just the marketing, but the whole, you know, brand image, the whole market set or the whole office setting, you know, all of that really gets kind of washed through this idea of, are we being neighborly? So that's been super helpful.
So we regularly talk about how when we give the advice to our clients that this applies to everything in your business, and we literally mean everything in their business. It's not just marketing. It's not just social media posts. It's not just your podcast. What other parts of your business do you think have been affected by this in a really significant way? Not just the team going, yeah, we buy it.
Yeah.
We get it.
So client service, you know, when we're interacting with clients and we're interacting with prospects and vendors, just going out of our way to be neighborly to them like a good neighbor would. Down to, you know, kind of how the design and layout of our office and when people come in and kind of getting that kind of neighborly feel. And just walking them through our office, I would say, you know, all that stuff is a part of it. And we try to relate that to this idea of being a good neighbor.
Yeah, interesting. I think the most extreme neighbor client I've had was an attorney, contract attorney in New Hampshire. And it was no suits, no ties. It was khakis and, you know, button down Oxfords and just, you know, really, really casual. It was awesome to watch them evolve into that. So sounds like you guys are doing the same thing.
Yeah,
your office is really nice. You redecorated after you chose the neighbor archetype with Sonia Fine Out. And look, it's really nice. It's really inviting. And, you know, the other thing that you guys do really well that's on brand that you might not even equate with that is that you're really involved in the community. I know that pretty much everybody on your team sits on boards and does volunteer work and things like that. I know you don't talk a lot about it in your marketing, so we're not like, quote unquote, bragging about it, but that is also part of your company culture that you guys really do a good job with and help the community out that way.
Yeah, people don't realize that company culture comes from a state of mind, and it requires a deep level of consistency in how you do things and how you think. And pretty obviously, you guys were already there, that you were already thinking about this in a way. You just, you know, weren't inspired to focus on it until this. And, you know, the fact that you guys are doing community work and charity work, that is awesome. I'm sure there are a lot of listeners who wish that they could have a strong corporate culture that's infused with brand. And there's one way to do it is this, you know, find an archetype, stay true to it, build your brand. It doesn't take long to build a brand. It's not a process. It's a process of stringing together tens of thousands of little things that are all on brand. And it sounds like you guys are doing just that.
Yeah.
They are. You guys are nailing it. I love working with you guys. Thank you for including me on your journey. Yeah. Nick, why don't you tell our listeners how they can find your podcast and get in touch with you guys?
Yeah. So the podcast, like we said, Kitchen Table Finance, it's on Apple and Google and wherever you get your podcasts. And then our website is srbadvisors.com. We got all sorts of informational stuff out there, and you can find our contact information if you want to reach out to the office.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us, Nick and David. We really appreciated talking with you guys.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, guys. And for listeners, if you have a company where you used archetypes, whether it was through us or not, in the development of what you think is a strong brand and would like to be interviewed by us, we would love to do just that. So reach out, contact us. You can get a hold of us on the Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and LinkedIn and all the other social platforms out there. So reach out and we would be glad to connect. So guys, thanks for your time today. Really, really appreciate it. And Amy, we'll talk to you Christmas Eve next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.